Thank you very much for inviting me here. I've run into a lot of people who have said that they've been listening to me on the radio because I have a face for radio. I don't do television because America's Most Wanted is still aired in some places. And Emily, you're a bonehead. If you want a gun in D.C., go see Eric Holder. He'll get one for you. No, I just say I'm a poor American. That's when I started writing about Operation Fast and Furious, I was 6 feet tall. I had a full head of blonde hair. They called me Sven. That explains everything you need to know about this story. Mike Vanderbo, I believe I see him kind of creeping out behind somebody's baseball cap back there. Stand up, Mike, and everybody give this guy a hand because he helped uncover this story. I actually started snooping into this Fast and Furious a couple of weeks after I first read something that Mike and David Codrey had been working on. I called Codrey up and I asked him, I said, hey, look, I hope you don't mind me poaching into your story. He says, listen, man, there's plenty of room in here for this. And it has been quite an adventure. I never believed that it would go on this long, and it's still going to go on. The IG's report was out 10 days ago, I think, and they had a hearing, and everybody thought, meh, this is probably the end of the trail. No, it's not. The IG's report made mention that one individual that wouldn't talk to him is a guy named Kevin O'Reilly. Kevin O'Reilly, at the time of Fast and Furious, was working in the White House on the National Security Advisory Council, or whatever they call it. And as soon as his name came up during one of the hearings, within a couple of days, he was on an airplane to Iraq. And now, yesterday, according to CBS, Congressman Darrell Issa, who is the chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, and Senator Charles Grassley are seriously considering issuing a subpoena for him. Now, he may be able to run away from an interview, but you're not going to run away from a congressional subpoena, not when it's issued by these two guys, because they're like hounds on a hunt. And I think they're going to follow this through, and I'd very much like to hear what Mr. O'Reilly has to say, because that could put this thing into the White House. I think it's already there because Barack Obama has taken ownership of Fast and Furious by exercising executive privilege for reasons we don't know, and they won't explain it to us. I can say that Fast and Furious has destroyed a lot of people's faith in the government. And it's kind of sad. As a reporter, you know, I'm also a citizen of the United States. And I approached this story first as a story. It's gone some strange directions over the past 21 or 22 months, however long it's been that we've been kicking this around, and Mike certainly can bear some of this out, and he's certainly got his own perspectives on this, too. I was on the phone one day with one of my sources on Capitol Hill who said, gee whiz, you know, now we're looking at the FBI might have actually used some money, taxpayers' money, through a paid informant to pay for some of these guns. I didn't want to hear that, but this is actually one of the areas where we've gone with this story. Where we're at right now, the IG's report certainly bears out a lot of what has been written. It certainly supports a lot of what the joint staff report from ISA and Grassley's people said back in June. How many read the Fortune magazine piece? I see a couple of hands back there. Fortune magazine published a story right before the joint staff report came out in June. And I'm certain it was designed to deflect public attention or discredit that report. Everything in the IG's report and everything in the staff report has discredited Fortune magazine. Now, one of the whistleblowers has asked Fortune for a retraction of that story. We're just going to see where that one goes. That'll probably go through the next several weeks if it maintains traction. Of course, we've got an election coming up. And we've got a Libyan crisis that didn't happen. And we've got other issues pending. But Fast and Furious should not get lost in the mess, because it's indicative of what this administration has done and how it operates. We've got a distracted president, more interested in doing Letterman than in talking to Prime Minister of Israel about the possibility of a war in the Middle East and the acquisition of atomic weapons by Iran. That's small stuff. You don't ever turn down Letterman. We've got an attorney general who apparently didn't know anything about Fast and Furious. And, oh, yeah, he's sitting right here with the president, by the way. Maybe he can elaborate on some of this. And that is Clint Eastwood coming through the door back there. Yeah, how many guys actually looked? Yeah, you guys are probably going to vote for Obama. The attorney general got a pass on this one. I don't think he did. I think what the IG's report indicated was what I wrote several days ago in a column, examiner.com, about this, and also in the gunmag.com. It showed that the attorney general is distracted from doing his job. If he didn't know what was going on under his nose when an agency that is under his direction allowed another agency that is part of his department to move a couple of thousand firearms illegally across an international border, he's not paying attention, and maybe he ought to lose his job, too. And that's the sad part about this, because I am a citizen, and what's been done in my name by government agencies is shameful. I'm a reporter because what hasn't been done by most of my colleagues is despicable. It's disgraceful that nobody seems to have heard of this story until the last few weeks. The exceptions are Fox News. William Lajeunesse has done an outstanding job. CBS, Cheryl Atkinson. I sent her an email the other day, said, you know what, if I could, I'd give you an award for just having guts. She's been swimming upstream against this, and she has done some remarkable reporting on this, too. And don't forget that. ABC, NBC, well, they're sitting over here too, I guess. And most major newspapers have devoted a little bit of ink to this, but not very much, because I think that some of the critics of the administration are correct. They're in the bag for Obama. They do not want to attach a scandal to this administration. And as the election draws near, and we've got Libya, we've got Fast and Furious, there's nothing but scandals going on with this administration. But nobody wants to talk about them, except a few guys who pound keyboards and send stuff out over the internet, and hopefully somebody picks it up and reads it. And I think some of you folks have been reading it, and I'm very happy to hear about that. I know you guys read Sipsy Streak, and I know you guys are aware of Dave Kodria, who could not be here today. But as citizens, you should follow this story. It's going to wrap up someday, I hope. Perhaps when we have a new attorney general and a new administration, we will get to the bottom of this. People will be held accountable. And then I can retire and go catch fish and shoot birds and relax, knowing that probably the last big story of my career helped create a fear on Capitol Hill and led to some congressional investigations. That's something pretty good to look back on, because occasionally the good guys do win. And I guess that's why I got into I started as a journalist during the Watergate era, and I could tell bad guys from good guys. And that's been my fault all along. I can tell the bad guys from the good guys, and this one is full of bad guys. So pay attention to this story. It's not going away. Keep reading Mike's stuff. Try to read my stuff. It's usually not very easy to read. It's not very understandable. It's full of misspellings, typographical errors. But keep reading it anyway. And I think in closing, I do have a special guest here. Tex Fuller is sitting over here, and he's got a couple of words that he'd like to share with you. Probably that Dave Workman's a rat, but no. Tex has been working on a film project, And I think that you guys are going to be interested in this project. And again, thanks very much for your time, and thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, Dave. I'm here because of Dave and Mike Vanderbo and David Kotria and others, Matt Boyle at the Daily Caller, the new media, the alternative media that made me aware of this story over a year ago. And I have been astonished at what a fabulously competent job the so-called mainstream media has done in preventing this from being a story. I'm producing a documentary. I have never encountered a difficult project. The level of intimidation, the viciousness of it, the pervasiveness of it that's coming from the Department of Justice is preventing a lot of people who say they want to talk to me, or they'll talk to me, but they won't do it on camera. And then this whole pervasive ignorance, not because the public's lazy, it's just that they are not exposed to this story. Dave alluded to Watergate. You know, the irony is, think of all those kids in the 70s who saw All the President's Men and said, wow, I want to be a Woodward. I want to be a Bernstein. I want to switch to journalism. And now where are they? Those that did that, after all these years, if they're still in the business, they're in senior positions in print and broadcast journalism. And what are they doing? They have a chance to be that. And yet they're working every day as hard as they can to bury the story. I decided several months ago, well, about 4 months ago, that one of the problems was that this whole thing was so intangible. A border patrolman was killed in the desert. What does that mean? What was that all about? So I started trying to figure out exactly what happened. It's almost impenetrable because the DOJ has clamped down on Border Patrol. I recently, with the support of Sheriff Paul Babu in Pinal County and his deputies, we recreated an incident. We filmed it. I've put this out. I just put it up on YouTube a couple of days ago. Please jot down, if you type in Fast and Furious, : under the radar and above the law. This is a 6-minute sort of preview, promo. I decided to get it out there because I wanted people to have a feeling that something actually happened. It's about the killing of Border Patrolman Brian Terry. And this is going to get a lot of play next week from among a number of blogs and online media. And, you know, watch this space. No, it's not going to go away, but it's going to take an incident. There's going to have to be some major defection from the Department of Justice to break this story open. Thank you for your time.